Numbers chapter 15, verse 32 through verse 36. The man shall be surely put to death. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they found him gathering sticks, brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, now I want you to know this man, he gathered sticks. The man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. And the Lord commanded Moses. What do you really know about sin and hell? It's almost a fairy tale today. It's almost a tale of some sort or a story. What do you really know about sin and about hell? Now, I know what you think you know. I know what people think they know. And concerning sin, I'd say that most probably believe that, yes, we're all sinners and it's not good. But we all do it, and so God sent his son, and we're okay. Everything's going to be all right because God sent his son. Well, we're all sinners. Well, if we're all sinners, I'm as okay as anybody else. And that's the way that people believe and look at things. And they look at themselves in the mirror. They look at themselves through their own eyes. And surely God would never send me to hell. Yeah, I can understand him sending somebody else, somebody we read about on the news or some heinous sinner, but surely not me. There's no way that God, and yet here's a man that did but gather sticks on the Sabbath day, and God said, don't just kill him, hit him in the head with rocks. And if you know anything about stoning at all, it'd be an awful way to die. So I'd wonder, has the fire been put out on sin and hell? You would think that it had. It's not preached as it was even when I was a boy. It's not preached as when I first started preaching 40 years ago. In modern religion, the sin and the fire's been put out. But in God's book, it hadn't. And hell is still the price to be paid for an unforgiven sinner. That's where unforgiven sinners go. They go to a place of fire, a place of torment, a place where the worm dieth not, where there's agony and gnashing of teeth and people chewing their own tongues, and a place so horrible that it's almost unspeakable or unimaginable for a natural man to imagine. So when I say unforgiven, I speak of a man that's not redeemed, that's not justified, that's not regenerated. A man that's not a new creature in Christ Jesus, you see. And so I ask you, have your sins been forgiven? And you think about that, and you think about that when you look at your mama or your daddy or your son or your daughter or your brother or your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your grandpa and your grandma, your grandchildren. Are your sins, are their sins, have their sins been forgiven? It's not some carte blanche forgiveness that God doles out. He didn't send Christ to the cross 2,000 years ago and say, well, everybody's done now. Everybody's forgiven. He didn't do that. And sin is an awful, awful thing. This man but gathered sticks, and God said, stone him to death. Now, I know we all believe what we say in Jesus. Everybody believes in Jesus. Everybody I've met for 40 years, they believe in Jesus, you might say. And that's not what I speak of when I talk about being born again. I'd say easily that 9 out of 10 today, they have the wrong concept of God, and I hear it. I hear it in their voices. I can hear the way that a man speaks of God, and I can pretty well tell you if he's speaking of the God of the Bible. You see, God isn't our friend. And he isn't Santa Claus. He's certainly not the man upstairs. He's not the big guy or any other such blasphemy. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is the creator of the universe. Let's get this call through.
Hey.
Hey, okay, now we have Jeff and George. Sorry, we had a little, had a glitch there. So God's not the man upstairs. He's not, he's in some text room yesterday, and they're texting about cowboys, and they have today cowboy churches. It's ridiculous. And if you can imagine that, combine that with this man that's stoned to death. For what? Who here hadn't started a fire on Sunday or Saturday? Who hadn't gathered sticks, you see? He's the Lord God Almighty. He's able to send body, soul, and spirit into hell. And hell is fire. It's a place of fire. And if you're what God considers bad, which we all were or are, God will send you to hell. In this very book, God sent children to hell. God of the Bible sent children to hell. And you can't speak of hell without speaking of fire. And the Bible says that God enlargeth hell. He made it bigger so that more folks could be put there. And you can't really speak of God without speaking of fire. Appeared to Moses in a flaming bush. And yet few do. When the book of Thessalonians, when God comes back, how's he coming? You remember? In flaming fire. Now, with that said, let me say that God is all. A-L-L, God is all. He said, who shall I say to Moses? He said, I am. He is all. And by that, I mean, he's not more of one thing than any other. And you've got to understand that. Sometimes should go back, haven't done it in many years, and preach the attributes of God. God is all. He's not more of this than he is of that. And you've got to get that to have a right concept of God. I'm talking about the God of the Bible. He's not more love than he is hate. Did you know that? He's not any more love than he is hate. He's not more grace than he is wrath. He's all in all. He's God Almighty. And without this understanding, you've no right concept of God. It seems extreme, but until one knows that God is as much hate as he is love, you'll never know God. And you'll never understand the concept of hell and hellfire and eternal damnation and eternal judgment. The top two lies told in church and revolve around a wrong concept of God. And they stand up and they look at all the people and say, God loves you. Well, maybe he does and maybe he doesn't. Maybe he hates you. I know you don't believe that. I don't believe any man probably believes. But he hates. There are people that God hates. As surely as he loves, he hates. And then they'll say, well, he loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. Well, without the sinner, there is no sin. That's how ridiculous that men are, and it's how they can joke about the man upstairs and about places like hell, and they draw a red being with a pitchfork and a tail, and it's silly, and it's stupid, and it's ridiculous, and it's not the Word of God. God said, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself, in the 50th Psalm. You think I'm like you, he said. But he said, I'm not. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. He said that. We think they are, but they're not. And we know from Corinthians that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. And it's so. Hey, James. There you go, boy. And he uses his natural mind to make God as he is, which he is not. Now, I believe, I don't know if anybody's ever thought about this. Have you ever thought about if you were the judge? If you were a judge, could you sentence a man to death? Pretty serious matter. I've never been in those shoes, but I believe that I could sentence a man to death. I fully believe that. But I don't know any man that could sentence another man to eternal hellfire. That's a different situation. It's over. It's done. You say, well, you're killing him. Yeah. Death. But I'm talking about an eternal death. An eternal hellfire. They call it the second death. The problem is, they don't die. They're still alive. And they're burning in hell. Do you get that? They're burning in hell. And they're screaming. And they're crying. And they're wailing. Now I'm talking about mamas and daddies and sons and daughters and brothers and sisters screaming and crying out for mercy in an eternal fire. And I don't know any man that could do that. But God can. You see, if we were capable of doing it, we'd be sentencing the man that's doing something that we did. Have you ever thought about it? You say, well, he's going to hell. But I did what he did. I did exactly what he did. He wasn't any better than me. You see. But Christ redeemed me. I got off. But he's going to hell. See, a natural man, he can't receive. He can't, really, he can't have a concept of that thing. We should know that God is all. That's why I wasn't a good cop. I just wasn't a good cop. Somehow, hypocrisy wasn't in my pocket. I wasn't a good hypocrite. And I don't remember since I started driving at 13 or 14 years old. Speed limits don't mean much to me. I just punch down on the gas and go where I'm going. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm telling you that. And so for me to pull somebody else over and give them a ticket for something I'd do that. You see. I broke the speed limit everywhere I went, as far as I knew. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's what I did. I wasn't a good cop. It didn't seem right. Sometimes it doesn't seem right to me. Does it seem right to you that God's going to let you off the hook? But that guy gathered sticks and they're stoning him to death. Natural man can't receive that thing. And I'll tell you that fire is the most painful thing I've experienced some horrible, horrible things, pain physically. But fire is the most painful thing I've ever experienced. Fire, a little bit of fire put me in shock. It's another level of pain. It's a different kind of thing. In Luke 16, we had an account of the only man ever, a man being in hell, the rich man in hell, and he cried, I'm tormented in this flame. No water. I think everybody should fast once in their life without water, even 24, 48, 76, 72, 3 days. It's catastrophic to the body. It's unbelievably catastrophic to the body when you have no water. Your body's made up of water. And sadly, no matter how hot I or anybody else preaches on hell, men used to preach on hell. When I pulled up Rolf Barnard, I advise you to do the same. Pull up his message or part of his message on hell. You can find it on the computer, on YouTube somewhere. Rolf Barnard. And he preached hell hot. Hot as I've ever heard any man preach it. And I heard Brother Connolly preach hell. And I've heard many other men preach hell. And I've preached hell, you see. But sadly, no matter how hot that hell is preached, few, if any, get it, you see. They simply don't believe that God would do that. That God would do that. Do you remember Elisha? When children came out and made fun of him. You remember that? You remember what he did? He called a she-bear, and I think it killed 40 children. A bear killing 40 children. That's your God? He said, preacher, why would you? I'm asking you if that's your God. I'm asking you if you believe in heaven. I'm asking you if you believe in hell. I'm asking you if you believe in love. And I'm asking you if you believe in hate. I'm asking you if you know the God of the Bible. But they simply will not believe that God would do that. Which leads to a third lie. That God doesn't send people to hell. You ever heard that? You send yourself. God doesn't do that. You do it yourself. Really? You think that rich man walked to hell? You think he died and he's in the grave? How do you think he got there? How do you think you're going to get there? How do you think you're going to get to heaven? You're going to have GPS in the grave when you get in that box? I'm trying to tell you about the God of the Bible. I believe we've forgotten the God of the Bible. I believe we've forgotten about heaven and we've forgotten about hell. We've forgotten about eternal judgment. We've forgotten about sin and the awfulness of sin and the wonderfulness of forgiveness and why it's so wonderful. You see. Now, he may have done things that were necessary to deserve hell. So have I. And so have you. But the literal journey is wrought by God. When I close these eyes in death, you got plans? Are you going to turn right at the next light? You see what I'm saying? Folks, let's understand as best we can the God of this Bible. God destroyed people in the Bible by fire. Burned them to a crisp. He turned Lot's wife into a pillar of salt. I'm telling you that God burned human beings to death. I'm telling you that he told them to kill women, children, babies in the womb. Do you hear what I'm telling you? You say, well, no, I'm painting a picture of the God of the Bible. Because you'll never understand the awfulness of hell if you don't understand these things. When he comes back, he's coming in flame and fire. And he's going to take, the Bible says, vengeance. Are we to fear God? You better believe it. People say, well, you're not. What are you talking about? Have you read the book? They stoned this man to death. He probably had children. He probably had a wife. And God said, kill him. Hell, a place of eternal torment. A place where the worm dieth not. A place more horrible than any human could ever imagine. for eternity. No reprieve. No parole. Final. It's the finality of hell that shakes me most. The finality that there's no way out ever. Not ever. When I heard Brother Connolly preach that in person in Richardson, Texas, 30 years ago, and he used an illustration, it never left me, and he said, if you can imagine, of course it's easy to imagine, here we've got a beach 50 miles from here, and you go to Padre Island, if you've ever been to Padre Island or any other beach, and he said, if you'll take a trip over there, and you'll get one grain of sand. Can you imagine? One grain of sand. And that's the illustration old Brother Connolly uses. One grain of sand, and you take that sand and you go back home. And you turn right around and you go back to the beach and you get another grain of sand. Just one. There are billions and billions of grains of sand. Just on the small area of Padre Island. And he said, if you do that, and you get every grain of sand on Padre Island. Every grain. And then you pick another beach. And you get one grain of sand from every beach in the whole wide world until there are no more grains. He said, it's just begun. It will never, never, ever. See, we're final people. We think everything's going to come to an end. We've got to start thinking eternally. Because we have eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. But in a sense, there's an eternal death. A damnation, you see. No reprieve, no parole. The finality of it. This life on earth ends. Hell does not. And every man, every child ever born will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. No place else. Heaven or hell. But surely God wouldn't send you to hell. He wouldn't send your mama to hell, your daddy, your son, your daughter, your brother. He wouldn't do that. He said, stone him. He said, kill him. Well, he knows my heart. Yeah. That's why I send you to hell. Because he said the heart's deceitfully wicked above all things. You see. Oh, that's right. Men don't believe that either. Yeah, I know I've done, but I'm not like him. Well, Pharisee, boy, thank God I'm not like him. And the other one beat his chest. God be merciful to me, a sinner. But we're the exception, the good one. Redeemed, justified, regenerated. I'm telling you that you must be born again. I pray for many every morning to be born again. Some that you may not suspect. Some that believe they're already born again. You see, I serve a God that sent children to hell. That's right, children. The God of the Bible. Not the God of our mind. Not the God we've created in our heart. But the God that had them kill a man for gathering sticks on a certain day. Have you been born again? You must become a new creature in this life. Don't wait till you die. You've got to become a new creature in this life. Shall I tell you about it? I'll tell you that if you're chosen, you shall be born again. regardless of what I say. If you're not chosen, now you hear that. If you're not chosen, you're going to hell. Regardless of what I say, regardless of what you say. What I find in the redeemed is a certain fear of God and hell that's beyond other men. Interesting. The ones forgiven are the ones that fear the most. I find the deluded believing that they're okay, that they're fine with God. That He knows them, and they're okay. They're all right. But you see, it's not me knowing Him. It's Him knowing me. When were you born again? Do you remember? When were you born again? You know, in our text back in Numbers, look at verse 37 through verse 41, finish out the chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now they killed this man, they stoned him to death. Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes. You see that? You can't trust your heart. You can't trust your eyes. After which you use to go a-whoring. That you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Those in Christ remember. He said, put a ribbon. You see that? A blue ribbon. Have you got a blue ribbon? And is it called Calvary? Because if you don't, you'll die and you go to hell. Have you been crucified with Christ? It says in the book of Hebrews, I like 13 is my number, Hebrews 13:13. It said that he was crucified without the camp outside. And I believe that there are yet too many, especially in, or you might say organized religion, maybe in our own midst, but there are too many that are yet worshiping within the camp. Within the camp. Now let me say, there's something that'll happen within that camp. You'll get stoned there. As surely as this man in our text, the religious will stone you, because you're going to trip up. And he told us to come out from among them. And he told us to be separate. So you think of that blue ribbon and you think of that blue line and you come out. He said, for here, this earth. I know we all like it, you know. We're all happy. But he said, for here we have no continuing city. You get that? You can look at it. It's in Hebrews. Hebrews 13. Here we have no continuing city. This world's not our home. And you become familiar with it. I'm not picking on Jeff, because I've done the same thing. And you make a trip somewhere, and you get stuck, and you get sick. You say, well, I could. Yeah, I could. It's happened to me. It's happened to him. You see? And I'm not picking on him. What I'm telling you is, when you pack up to go, did God tell you to go somewhere? You see? Did God tell you to move? God tell you to go to work over here? God tell you to do this? You see? Like hell doesn't mean anything. I used to preach all the time. You think this father doesn't care, or this mother doesn't care where that little boy goes? Oh, I didn't think they'd care if I just went out in the pasture over there. Oh, I didn't think they'd care if I just walked down to the road. Really? You see, we've got the wrong concept of God the Father, of God the Son, of God the Holy Ghost. He's a shepherd. He's a shepherd. And he's the one that decides who goes to heaven. And he's the one that decides who goes to hell. And he's the one that decides who gets stoned for gathering sticks. He's Lord God Almighty. Is that an awful God? No, it's a great God. Because if you have the mind of Christ, he's just. And if you look around today, you find that the one thing you don't find in politicians or judges or anyone, even preachers, they're not just. They're crooked. And they're perverse. Any wonder that John the Baptist and Christ said, "Oh, generation of vipers." They're perverse. And God's just. And he was just in this. And he's just in who goes to hell. And he's just in who goes to heaven. You know why I love him? Because he's just. And he doesn't vacillate. He's not unstable. He's not double-minded. I love that. And you know why? Because he first loved me. Because I was worse than this guy. My hero in the Bible, David, he committed murder and adultery. He's my hero. Because he was a man after God's own heart, not because he committed murder and adultery, but because God loved him. And if he can forgive David, he can forgive me. And he did. He forgave David and he forgave me. Aren't you glad God came to save sinners, whom I am chief? Father, I thank you, Lord. It's been a privilege to speak of these things because they're truth. They're attributes of who and what you are. And I'm so grateful. Father, I don't understand it. I'm grateful for a place called hell. Because you created it and it's right. And those that go there, it's right that they go there. And those that go to heaven, it's right that they go there. And especially in the manner that you did it by Christ Jesus the Lord, who suffered without the camp that we, those in Christ Jesus, those that have been redeemed, might have those sins be scarlet, washed white as snow. We might be forgiven, redeemed, justified, sanctified, and glorified by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.